Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Hi there, what's your name?
Evelyn Rogers. What's your name?
Scott Rogers.
What's this?
What is this?
It's a podcast.
It's been so long, I almost forgot.
It's a podcast about
the magician and magician-related things.
You're right.
And it's called Fillory and Father.
Yay!
Yay, we're back.
Yes, we have been gone for a bit. We have been very busy, and Dad has been sick.
October is a busy month, and yes, yeah. I have been sick. I'm still getting over it.
But here we are.
Here we are, back again with episode 9
of season 4.
What's it called?
The Serpent.
It's directed by...
Yeah, what's her name?
Carol Banker.
Did you not? That's a very shitty looking N.
Maybe it's Baker.
Baker?
Baker or Banker.
Banker.
One of the two.
Good job, Carol.
Either they are from a long line of bankers.
Or a long line of bakers.
Yeah, which one would you rather be from?
Bakers. Because then you would eat well.
Yeah, but then if you were from bankers, you would be well off.
That's not necessarily true.
I mean, the people that go into the arts generally are well off.
Then banking is not the arts.
No, but they were like, I don't want to be a banker like you, Daddy. I'm going to go and be a director of TV episodes.
It's just a phase.
No, it's never a phase.
It's never a phase.
It's a lifetime
commitment. It's a lifestyle. Uh-huh.
Exactly. All right, well, good for you, Carol Banker or Baker, for directing this episode called
The Serpent. But really, it should be called...
The Death Worm.
The Death Worm. Okay, so this episode starts with...
V for Vendetta.
The shittiest looking V for Vendetta parody I've seen in a while. This dude with a modified voice putting worms in people's ears, and it makes them, burn on the inside if they try to cast magic or something.
Yeah, like, that makes any sense at all.
It's because the worm.
Yeah, but...
It's because of the worm.
Well, I'm
it's
sure...
It's the worm.
The worm.
The worm.
But, like, what kind of worm adapted in nature to go...
It's like the evil version of the babblefish. It goes in your ear and it eats your brain instead of helping you translate.
It's the lame-ass version of the Wrath of Khan is what it is.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right? The evil brain mind-controlling worm from Wrath of Khan.
Uh-huh. But apparently they're calling themselves the Serpent, which, again, are worms, not snakes.
Well, but remember, worm, W-Y-R-M,
is another term for...
medieval European term for
dragon
serpent.
Dragon and serpent,
right?
Yeah.
So maybe they're worm with a Y.
It's probably
But they still
not.
Should have been
It's
worm.
Just a worm.
Should have just been a worm.
It's just a funky little worm.
It would
worm.
Have been a double meaning.
Yeah.
Get it? Worm, serpent, worm. All right, anyway.
Yeah. Worm and worm.
Again,
they should have just gotten a snake.
Put a snake in somebody's ear?
Yeah, that's more scary.
But that's it takes longer for a snake to get in somebody's head.
They
I
can
guess.
Just kind of like.
And where's it going to fit once
wiggle
it's in.
In
there? That worm was pretty big, too.
Yeah, it's a big old worm.
Big,
it looks like
leech.
A tiny version of the Dune worm. Just a tiny little dune
the
worm.
The new dune or the old dune?
It looks like a dune worm. It looks like...
Do you know what those dune worms are
looks
called?
Like the worms in The Hobbit when they come out
what?
Of the ground.
The worms in The Hobbit?
Yeah. Battle of Five Armies.
Hobbit.
They're sandworms.
The worms are fighting?
The worms. The worms. They're fighting.
We've got five armies. We've got humans, dwarves,
eagles worms,
and orcs. And frogs.
Frogs? Why are the frogs fighting?
Because they're just... Mad.
I don't want Quentin to go to war.
War. All right, so we see death worms.
We see some death worms, and it turns out that these death worms are, being used on hedges to kind of make them die.
Stop using magic.
Thereby dying.
Yes.
And apparently...
Final solution.
Yeah, all the hedges have been getting attacked, and we see Katie and Pete watching this little YouTube video, or maybe they put it on Vimeo or something.
Gee, I wonder who is attacking the hedge witches.
I wonder.
Considering there's really only two factions in this whole universe.
Uh-huh. But knock, 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 who's at the door? Oh my god, it's Alice, and she's come to ask for help. Because she wants to help take out the library, and
she also wants to
fix broken bridges and all that shit, because, she kind of wrecked all of her relationships.
Well, also, in the words of, what's his face, the guy, she's the new Marina.
Oh, Pete?
Pete.
Well,
yeah.
Katie is the new Marina. Oh, Katie's that's what the he new said Marina? Because Katie oh, is now Alice like the head of the New York coven, basically.
Right. All right, but well, that's why she gets
Alice
the
is like, please let me fix this. I hate what happened to Modesto. We opened that pipe, but we didn't realize that there would be a terrorist attack. So please just let me fix this. I'm going on an apology tour. And Katie punches her in the face.
That's very satisfying.
Yes,
actually.
It was very satisfying. And then she was like, okay, I'll help you now. That felt really nice.
Right.
And
it would have been funny if she like punched her one more time. Okay, now I got it.
Now we're good. No. But they need to find a map of the system of all of the pipes of magic so that they can take it all down and release all the magic at once instead of just one where they can stop it
all
pretty
right.
quickly.
So here's the thing.
They gotta flood the system.
Right, but here's the thing. Even the shittiest water system, like Detroit, which has like the worst water in the world, mm-hmm. arguably, and I'll bet that the water system of Detroit is mapped, right? So I find it hard to believe of this idea of like, we've got to map the whole system. Instead, they should just say, we need to just go to the public works of magic
uh-huh.
and get the
well,
map
until,
of the system.
Until recently, I don't think they even knew that magic was like in pipes and shit. Because
oh,
remember,
come on.
No, because before that, you know, magic was like completely accessible the entire time. No one ever questioned where it came from until it got shut off. And
by
then,
Mario.
By Mario or Luigi. And then it got brought back. And now, because the library has unfettered access to all of magic, they have the ability to
So when
rein
they
it
found
in.
That out, don't you think somebody said, maybe we should map all this stuff if there are actual access points?
Probably they did.
Because how did they know there was one in Modesto?
Well, because remember, Sheila had like the dowsing rod ability so she could find where the points of magic were.
Right. But
and
how
that's
did
how
she
they
know
found
that...
That's how they found the magic box. Remember, she did her little hand thing. And
yeah,
she went,
yeah,
oh my
yeah,
god,
I
can feel it.
Yes, yes,
you
I know. But it's still this sounds very slipshod. Again.
It is always slipshod. This is all the lore in this show.
It's almost as if they're just making this shit up episode by episode.
Yeah, it sure does sound like it.
All right. So next.
But they say, hey, we need to get the weak spots, and we need to plant a mole in the library in order to get this information.
Gee, what? One character that we already know that works for the library that has slightly less evil interests than the rest of the library.
I wonder
who that could be.
I wonder. But then, wow, we cut to the library.
Can I mention how much I still hate the Cheerio thing?
Oh, yeah, we do see the Cheerios.
It makes no sense that there are multiple worlds. Again, it may if it was one Cheerio, sure. But the fact that they always show like dozens of Cheerios and they never... talk about like what's on those Cheerios.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Maybe there's some donuts on those Cheerios.
But like, why wouldn't they say, well, we got to go to another branch, we have to go to another Cheerio?
Well, there's only two other branches. It's just the Netherlands branch and then it's the Underworld
so
branch.
What is on the other Cheerios?
We'll never know.
Honey Nuts?
We'll never know. Honey
Blueberry?
You should stop while you're ahead.
Just thinking about cereal.
No.
Speaking of cereal, you guys should listen to The Empty Bowl,
no,
which
this
is a
way
lovely
too
podcast
early for an ad.
By Justin McElroy and some other guy whose name I always forget.
Oh my god.
And they talk very quietly and very patiently about breakfast
podcast.
Cereal
we
and how
talk about the
breakfast cereal is delicious. And how you should
Beals.
Listen to it.
Everyone
now, maybe we should
Jumbo
change
Beals.
Our podcast into no. from a yelling podcast to one of these.
Well,
so,
it's not our personality.
Tell us more about
it's
Alice.
It's not our personality.
Tell us
we're
more.
Italian.
This is a fall asleep. You can fall asleep
to
this
work that
podcast
way.
Now.
It's impossible.
And here's how it's going to work.
You're getting louder. And so am I. It's
this
impossible
show,
to be quiet.
And you're just going
to
fall asleep
anyway.
Like you do during the episode.
No. Anyway, we go to the library, and in the library there's a bunch of bureaucratic people dressed in 1940s clothing, and they're all voting on whether or not they should implement the Reed's Mark. And
what
the Reed's Mark is basically like a magical like
tattoo
not really a tattoo, it looks more like a scar that they like cut into you that basically just like inhibits all of your magic, so you
right.
can't cast at all, and it stops the worm because the worm is like, you know,
so why did somebody create something like that to begin with?
Because maybe they didn't want to cast magic anymore. Maybe they were so tortured.
Maybe as a punishment for
maybe
criminals.
Alice should have researched that and done that to herself.
Like years ago, right?
Yeah. She's so upset about having magic.
Because partially because they make it sound like such a, oh yeah, we'll just use the Reed's
mark. Yeah, we'll just use the Reed's mark. Oh, we'll get rid of their magic. It's no biggie.
That's like saying,
like, bro, you could have solved like half of the shit in the show if you could have used that the whole time.
That's like saying, oh yeah, we could have just gone to the ATM and gotten money. Right? Well, like it sounded like a super common thing. So yes. I mean, again, it's almost like they're making this shit up as they go.
It's crazy. Well, speaking of making shit up, so we see Zelda, and she goes back to where that mirror was that she, you know, accidentally yeeted her daughter through. And we see Harriet in the reflection, and she's talking to Zelda, and she says, hey, you need to find Alice because, you know, something bad is happening. And then we cut back, and we see Alice. She's getting, like, a phone call from her mom about how something strange is happening in her mirror, and it turns out that Harriet has been split into multiple pieces, and she's appearing in the mirrors of all the people that helped, like, perform the ritual to, like, try and get her back, and she's in pieces. And so Alice and Katie and Pete are like, oh shit, here's our leverage of how to get a mole in the library in order to get this information we need. So they go to Zelda in a public meeting space, which is called the same park that we saw Alice at, like, forever ago. And they all have their little talky talk, and they're like, hey, we need a map. And Zelda's like, hey, I need you to make a beacon so you can reunite all these pieces of my daughter. And Alice is like, okay, I'll do it. You know, I can fix her, and I just want to help. And then Pete comes up and he says, hey, you know, a whole safe house just got infected. I would rather lay low. I just want to get a Reed's mark and not have to fucking deal with this. So then we see Quentin and Penny 23 and Julia. Julia needs to seek the binder. That's all the information she got from from Harold the Herald. And Quentin's making a tortilla. And he drops it. It's very sad.
That made you laugh.
It made me laugh. It was very sad. That poor guy.
Poor Quentin. Quentin is so depressed.
He's so depressed, and it's just gonna get worse, and it sucks.
All right. So, Meanwhile.
No, but there's still more of this scene. Well, the monster appears, and he says, hey, guess what? I can feel how many god beings I have in my body. And it's actually, I just need one more, and it's just from Enyalias, and I know exactly where to find
Who's
him.
Who's Enyalias?
Enyalias is the first god he tried to find at the beginning of the series that they couldn't find, and he sent a proxy instead that the monster killed.
All right. Well,
Jennifer's just like
a god
that.
Of what?
He's like the god of war. He's like the actual like god of war instead
Not
of Ares.
Okay.
Yeah, he that's his true name is Enyalias. And
but from what, like Sumerian?
I don't know, man. But then the monster's like, I just need one more piece, so you guys get working on that. Show me where my cheesy puffs are. So also I wrote this down, but Julia looks hot with pigtails. This outfit is like her best outfit in the whole season is pigtails, and it's a turtleneck, a white turtleneck, and her makeup looks super nice, and she's wearing like really nice earrings. She just looks really pretty.
I will take your word for it.
You'll take my word for it? You were there. She looks gorgeous.
I think she has better looks. I mean,
she looks
pretty.
She looks gorgeous.
I think she has better looks.
She looks gorgeous. So then we see Margo and Fen and Josh, and Fen is refusing to tell Margo that on her dream quest, the Napster told her that you have to depose of the current High King of Fillory and take her place.
Right.
And so Fen is avoiding that, and Josh comes up and he says, hey, I got all of these, you know, interdimensional bunnies from Quentin, and they're all saying Elliot's alive.
Right.
And, you know, Margo's like, oh my god, Elliot's alive. And she's like, Q's positive that he's alive in there. And Josh is like, yeah. And then they fuck.
And they do it without taking their clothes off, which is pretty amazing.
Pretty crazy. Good for them.
This is a show that it's okay to show somebody get disemboweled, but God forbid we see a nipple.
God forbid.
From either Josh or Margo.
Uh-huh. Well, we see Josh is shirtless.
Right.
So.
Do we see a nipple, though?
Yes, he's shirtless.
No, he wasn't shirtless.
Yes,
he
was.
It was open. It was just open.
Oh, okay. You want to see Josh's nipples that bad?
I'm just saying that it, having sex with that much clothes on, it didn't sell the... Like, they could have at least been naked under covers.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then have the next shot of them back in clothes again.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well,
they could have just shown one shot, them undercovers.
Okay, well.
And then next shot. And well, they could have been wearing swimsuits.
Well.
And then next shot, well, boom, back again. Right?
Post-coitus.
Yes.
Margot gets up and she says, okay, I'll see you when I get back. And Josh is like, wait. What the fuck? Don't leave. And she's like, no, I gotta go save Elliot. I gotta go help Q and find a way to save Elliot.
Good for Margot.
And Josh is like, no, stay for the banquet. I invited this guy. His name is Foremost, and he's the leader of this nomadic tribe to the south. And there's stories about how his tribe got attacked by, like, body-possessing monsters, and he used some axes that had, like, magical, depossessing magic on them in order to save all the people.
Right.
So he's like, I've invited this guy here so we can maybe get his axes to try and save Elliot. And so Margo's like, wow, Josh, you're actually smart. Sure. I will stay for the banquet in order to go and try and save Elliot.
Right. Is this the last plot point from the books?
No.
No?
But this is the last plot point from the books that's actually with the correct character.
Right. Okay.
But then we see Alice and Dean Fogg, and Alice is like, please get me, you know, I need to get Zelda on our side. And Fogg's like, okay, I'll help you because the library asked me to make a watch list of students that drop out of break bills who are likely to become hedge witches. And that feels a little totalitarian, unlike every other thing that's happened so far.
Or everything else that Dean Fogg has helped.
Yeah, and the fact that he helped, like, his students get, like, tortured and, you know, chased by a mind wiped and all this shit. And
he's a pretty crappy.
And he's like, I'm going to resign. This is my line.
He's a much crappier Dean Fogg than the one in the book.
Uh-huh. Well, Dean Fogg in the books is just kind of like, he's doing his own thing.
Well, he's like Dumbledore.
Yeah.
But less proactive.
Dumbledore's shitty also.
Well, Dumbledore is shitty for a variety of reasons, but at least Dumbledore was trying to, like, actively stop Voldemort.
Uh-huh.
Right? By having his little league of extraordinary gentlemen and all that, uh-huh. Right?
But he agrees.
I forget that
He
book.
Agrees to help. Yeah, me either. But he agrees to help get Zelda on their side. We see Julia and Penny 23, and they're at Breakbill's library. Also, Q is there, and they're searching once again for the binder for Julia. And Alice is also at the library, and she listens in on their conversation and writes down that Julia is looking for the binder. And hey, Julia, if you're just looking for a binder, just go to GC2B and get one.
Right.
They're like $30-$40 if you want to explore your sexuality or your gender. Wait, just like go
is that
in
a
there
joke?
This is a joke.
Oh, okay.
It's making me laugh.
All right, inside. All right,
thanks.
That's because no laughs can get out of the binder
because uh-huh,
you're bound up far too tight.
Actually, GC2B binders are pretty good at doing their thing.
Is this your commercial?
This is my commercial. I have a GC2B binder. It's pretty good. I have a bigger chest, though, so it's not 100%.
Every time you say
GCTB? GC2B.
Oh, it sounds like you're saying, what's that, TCBY?
Oh.
The country's best yogurt?
The county's best yogurt. I do think of that. I miss that yogurt place.
You know what I miss?
What?
I miss the Baskin-Robbins.
The sweet embrace of...
that folded when COVID came.
What?
The Baskin-Robbins.
Rip to the Baskin-Robbins.
There's another one around
across
town, but now we got to drive like 10 minutes to get to it. So.
Well, speaking of driving, we see the monster eating cereal.
What kind of cereal? Is it the Cheerio Planet?
No, it's...
Would that be funny?
Listen, it's not it's not Jumbo Beeholes, but it should be.
Well.
Eventually, we will see the Jumbo Beeholes.
Again?
Soon. We haven't even seen it the first time.
I thought we saw Jumbo Beeholes.
No, we have not seen Jumbo Beeholes, but I think about them. In my wake,
think about Jumbo Beeholes all the time.
In my waking hours and in my sleeping hours, I think about Jumbo Beeholes. But
hey, whatever turns you on.
But the monsters, Jennifer's watching TV and they see a psychic on TV and they're like, wait, maybe I can unearth some forgotten memories with some seen on TV psychics.
Right.
So then we see Alice and Katie and Zelda, and this is where we find out that, you know, Stephanie has provided her mirror that she also saw Harriet in, so we have the three mirrors, the one that was in Katie's place, the one that was at Breakbill's, and the one that was at Stephanie's.
Right.
And
they do that cheapest of video game tropes, the bounce the reflected beams of light off of each other.
Hey, you know, whatever works.
Hey, man.
Well, Alice has a little prism that she has to use, and she has
some pretty good hand motions.
Yeah, she ushers everyone out, and she says, okay, I have to do this ritual.
Now, wait, what did you tell me
ritual.
About the hand motions?
Oh, Olivia Taylor Dudley has said in interviews that she was actually pretty bad at doing, like, all the tuts, and so they would, like, she would, like, simplify them. When she did them. And as time goes on, their tuts get less and less complicated.
To the point where
season 5, it's like they push their hands forward, and that's the magic.
Well, the this one had, like, you made
this
a V.
This is an audio medium.
You did a V with your fingers, and then you, like, had two other fingers, and you did, like, little swirly circles along the V.
Yeah, but there was more to that.
Well,
it
I know. There was also,
that.
She did, like, a thing where she made a fist and then, like, had her other little hand, like, cozy up to it.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
There's some good, I thought she did some good hand motioning. She should give herself more credit.
Uh-huh. I think so. But,
Are you getting bored with this?
No, I was just young.
Are you getting bored with this
podcast? I'm not bored.
Do we need to take a boring break?
No, we don't. You are not allowed to take a break. but Harriet's personality has been fragmented inside the mirror realm.
Right, she's now three. Now, wait, what are the three personalities?
Harriet, and Harriet.
But, I mean, is it, like, angry Harriet, shy Harriet, and
concerned.
Harriet the spy?
Oh, ha-ha.
Harriet, sexy Harriet?
No.
I don't know.
They
didn't seem to be really any difference between them.
Yeah, there wasn't much difference, but Alice sends them all out, and Harriet is signing, stop now, don't do it, you know, you have to stop, and Alice is like, no, I need to continue this to bring you back together, and then Alice fucks it up, and she becomes two Alices.
Yes, because that's what this show needs, is two Alices.
Uh-huh, there's a scaredy cat Alice, and then there's the bitch Alice.
But wasn't regular Alice already scaredy cat Alice?
Yeah. The
so
point
it
is
wasn't
that
like
it's
they
the two,
split off each
two,
other.
It's their two, her two,
amplified.
Like, most amplified. Listen, it's like the imaginary Superman story where Superman uses all the kryptonite in the world to become smarter, and it splits him into two Supermen, which are both smarter than the original Superman. There's Superman Red and there's Superman Blue, and each one marries a different love interest. Superman Red, I think, marries... he marries Lana Lang, and then Superman Blue marries Lois Lane. And they both decide to, one decides to stay Clark Kent and not unsuperpowered, and the other one decides to continue being Superman. And it's kind of that.
I have never been more proud of you in my whole life.
You know I know so much golden age Superman
I know you do.
Lore.
Maybe that will be our next podcast.
Maybe.
We'll be like
maybe,
super
but only if we
Superman.
Only if we can read Superman Owes $1 Million and Superman Goes to Jail, and then the one where Lois Lane marries Lex Luthor and tries to murder Superman with a poison xylophone.
Sounds like you're already making a big list.
Uh-huh. Those are just my favorites.
Right. I mean, that we tried.
Also the one where Supergirl goes on a date with her horse.
That was our aborted podcast anyway.
Comics.
We've
talked about it before.
Have we talked about it on this podcast before?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you're interested in a comic book related podcast with Evelyn and myself, go ahead and contact us via Twitter or
email
because guess what, we haven't
father at gmail.com.
Have we got
send
any
us, send us
have
mail.
We got any Gmail?
We have not
e
gotten
or
any,
Gmail.
No, we have not.
We've got no
send
mail.
Us,
it's
send
a vast wasteland. It's our
send
fault for not putting out episodes.
Yes, we're sorry.
We're sorry.
We
love
have been
you.
So busy.
We've
we
had
love
anniversary
you.
And we've had haunted
we
Halloween
you.
Stuff and sicknesses.
Yes.
And visiting grandma.
Yes,
and
it's been
the
very,
list
very
of excuses. Is very long, but
we're
we
so
know
sorry.
That there really is no excuse for
we're
neglecting
so
you, our wonderful, loving fans.
We love
all
you.
Five of
all
you.
All five of you. Aaron, who doesn't listen.
All right.
Mai, who does. Ellen, who just caught up with all the episodes. We see you, girl.
Yep.
We do. And Mom.
Mom, who is
who
our
said, why isn't there no new episode? And we said, we're busy.
Right. We forgot. Evelyn
we're
was
sorry.
Talking to their girlfriend.
Shh. Don't put Ellis under the bus. speaking of girlfriends, Alice knocks herself out.
Yep.
And traps her stuck up version of herself in the mirror realm. So then we see Fen and Rue, who is Idri's sister, who is now the queen and leader of West Loria. I have a little shippy ship for you. It's called Margot and Rue, enemies to lovers, arranged marriage, AU. Why haven't I written it yet? It's because I keep forgetting.
All right, so wait a second. Let's do something. Let's play a game.
Yes?
What is the most obscure ship that you think that would exist in The Magicians?
With, like, a main character, or would it be background characters? No.
I want one that you, like, slam together, excuse me, in your little brain about...
Margot and Rue is pretty obscure because it's literally... They've literally never interacted.
So, wait, Rue is the evil queen?
She's not evil.
Whatever. She's kind of a pain in the butt.
She's not evil. She just had a prophetic dream. She's bad. And she was down to clown. She's not bad.
She's a bad person our heroine, Margot.
That, no.
Yes, she wants to kill Margot.
Well, she said therefore, she's down bad. To kill
who's,
Margot.
Whose team are you on? Team Margot? Margot would also
Margot would also kill her.
How dare you go against Team Margot?
I'm just saying team that Margot both of them,
is our favorite team of all the teams.
Both of them could equally kill each other.
Other than Quelliot. Right?
Team Quelly.
We're Team Quelly okay, first.
Okay, here's one.
And then we're Team Margot next, right?
Here's another ship.
And then we're Team Todd.
Here's another ship. You ready?
Ready.
Benedict and Penny 40.
Benedict and Penny 40?
Yes.
What is that called? Benny?
Benedict? I think it is. I don't remember. I don't remember the name of it.
Benedict is funny.
That is a ship. It's Benedict.
Is that actually one that exists?
I mean, I have talked about it with people, so it counts.
So it's out of your fever real. Brain.
Yes, it's out
I
of your
I think the
fever.
Most obscure would be Marina.
Marina.
And that zombie from the first episode.
He was never a zombie. That was just Pete possessing a dead body.
Oh, right. Well, but what was the name of the zombie?
You called him Zombie Pete, but it wasn't his name.
Zombie Pete.
He was
and
just
Marina.
A dead body. So zombie... Marina's a lesbian.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened.
No, Marina's a lesbian, and she remains a lesbian.
She's dead.
Not dead. Marina 23 is alive and well, and she is fucking the ultimate version of her dead girlfriend from her timeline.
But here's the thing, right? Is it okay for Marina 23 to still be running around?
No. Remember, we had a whole episode about that. But they're
but
like,
you're
well,
like so against Penny 23.
Yes, I'm also.
But
I,
you're so
we had a whole,
for Marina 23.
No, we had a whole conversation about this. I said it was also a bad thing. That she,
in
no,
your
I said no. I said it was also a bad thing that Marina was trying to date her girlfriend from another timeline.
I don't see a problem with it.
This, It's fine. You know why? Because I did, in fact, like Worf. And...
If your mother died in this
what?
Universe.
No, we had this exact conversation.
I had an opportunity
no,
to date your mother
no,
or
no,
marry your mother in another
person.
Universe.
It's a different person.
And if they weren't
no,
attached to anybody.
No, it's a different person.
And maybe if I like die.
How do you know that she would like you? Because she's a different person with different life experiences with different tastes.
Right, but okay, but what if that version of mom, like what if it was the version of mom who I died of cancer.
Oh my god.
Right? So now she's sad.
That would
and
still be
misses
fucked up, dude.
Me.
That would still
and
be
then I
up.
Show up
no,
from
it's
my
fucked
universe.
Up because you guys have shared experiences that she doesn't have, that she isn't privy to, and she has
right.
life experiences.
So then
that
we
you
would catch up
to.
And then we
no,
would continue
no,
and it would be great.
No, we already had this conversation. It's not good, but it's a fictional scenario that will never fucking
well,
happen.
That's what fiction is for. It's to play what if, right?
I know, but it's still,
I mean, I
don't
want to kill
like
you, honey.
It.
I love you and
yeah,
I'm glad we're both alive.
Yeah, stop killing off mom and
but
stop killing yourself off.
In an alternate reality.
No.
Dot, dot, dot.
Bad.
Maybe that's what my fan fiction will be.
No. If you write.
No, I was talking about Marina and Zombie Pete.
Do not do that. I will literally make you delete your account.
What account? I don't have an account.
I know. I'll make you delete your account.
You'll create an account on Archive of Our Own and then delete it?
Yes.
Just to make a point?
Yes,
that's
because.
Very vindictive.
Please do not fucking write.
Zombie Pete
please
Marina?
Please do not ship Marina with anyone who isn't a woman because Marina is a lesbian.
What if Pete is a nickname for a girl named Priscilla?
Oh my god.
And the whole time you think I'm talking about a guy, and then the twist ending
no.
is it's actually a woman.
No. Please don't justify that way, and don't be gotcha that way. Just don't
gotcha fun.
Just don't ship Marina with a man, please.
Okay.
Just don't. You can ship her with Margot. I believe that they're ex-girlfriends.
You think Margot and Marina are ex-girlfriends?
I think so. They give off Margot. That vibe. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say Julia and Marina.
No, they literally are basically exes.
They could have been.
They could have been.
Girlfriends.
They could have been, but they weren't. And it would have been a really toxic relationship.
Okay, speaking of which, so how is Fenn so willing to throw Margot under the bus?
Well, she was like sort of hesitant, but mostly not.
No, she was like, I'm all for it. I'm gonna overthrow Margot because that's what needs to be done.
No, that was Rue saying that. But Fenn was like, well, we can't kill her. And so Rue was like, well, the other alternative is that you could banish her. And that's the only other alternative. And that's the only thing Fenn can do. Another
alternative. This Rue person just shows up out of nowhere.
Because she also throwing around
proclamations. No,
because she also had a prophetic dream that told her to do stuff.
Dream schmemes, you say, you know?
Really, you should blame the Napster, who was the one who came to Fenn and Rue in the first place and gave them those prophetic
dreams.
We
already know I don't like the Napster because I think the makeup looks weird.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Rue says, I will pledge West Loria's loyalty to Fillory, but only if you're on the throne.
These people are so fickle.
It's political.
Political schmolitical. It's dumb.
I was thinking, I was like, damn, I really don't care about any of the politics of the magical world or like Fillory. Yeah, I literally.
It's like, remember how excited we were? Only care about
the fucking monster plot.
Remember how excited we were to like finally get to Fillory? And we're like, oh my gosh, we're going to see all this magic.
And then it's just bureaucracy, baby. And then it just ends up
being garbage.
Yeah.
Guess who were experiencing the TV show like? Like Quentin, because Quentin is now like, who cares about Fillory? It's all Garbo.
No, don't worry. He's going to give that literal speech in a couple episodes.
I know. It'll be vindicating.
It will be very sad also.
Yes, it will be very sad. Why don't they just kill Rue?
No.
Just kill her.
She's
walk
a
up
minor
to her.
Character.
Who cares? Then get rid of her. Kill her.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I don't like her.
She's a girl boss.
I don't like her.
No.
I don't like her.
She's a girl boss.
I don't like her.
No.
I don't like her. The same way I didn't like the Fairy Queen, I don't like Rue.
Well, she shows up for like one fucking episode.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Calm your tits, bro.
No, but it's like that's too much of a turn, having to make this massive turn of events just on this one rando thing.
Well, get mad at Fenn for listening to the Napster then.
No.
It all comes back to the Napster.
That's the problem with Napster. That's why it went away. It had to die.
Yeah.
Napster had to go away.
But Josh overhears Rue and Fenn conspiring to overthrow Margot.
Because that's what Josh does best.
So then we see the monster and, you know, we see Q and Julia and Penny 23 coming back. And he's like, oh, good, you're back. I tried 19 psychics before I got one that maybe worked. And, you know, he's like, he accidentally kills that one too, and he's like,
"Alan,
let's
have a moment of silence for Alan, the psychic who doesn't even get a single line of dialogue because his mouth is taped up."
In the arms of an angel.
All right, so the beast says,
"Not the beast,
I'm sorry,
it's
the
monster."
Penny
23 offers himself up, and he says,
"I'm a
strong. I am a psychic. I can do it."
And I also that means we don't have to hire anybody else to talk.
Yep. And so then we see a scene of Julia and Penny 23, and Julia's like, "No, don't help the monster." And Penny 23's like, "No, listen. I studied this. I had the beast in my head." Yeah, are we ever gonna get context for that?
Nope.
Why that happened? Also, the beast was his buddy the whole time,
right,
except
he was
for like.
Like, you're the greatest,
yeah,
Penny.
Like literally, the Beast was just, like, giving him tips and shit. And that's how he got to school. So, it's, like, what is the point?
You know, they never explained that. There's a ship right there.
No.
Yeah, the Beast and Penny.
No.
Yeah, what would that be called? Benny?
It's just the same name as Benedict and Penny.
All right, so then we go to
You've
Zelda.
You've broken me.
Yay. Mission accomplished.
No. Don't clap the microphone. Penny's like, yo, if I live, can I take you out on a date? And Julia's like, no, if you live, you can buy me dinner.
That's it? Just buy you dinner?
And then they kiss.
Buy you dinner for a month.
They kiss.
Or more.
Nah.
Buy a car.
So then right before they're going to kiss, Q and the monster return from, you know, dropping the body of Alan down like a river or whatever. Poor Q, he's like, he looks so fucking disheveled and depressed. He's got, like, his shirt open. He's got a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah,
he looks bad. so bad. And it's just, like, how many bad things are happening to Quentin in the background that no one is noticing?
At least once an episode. It's awful. If not more.
The fact that he dropped his tortilla was the saddest part, though. That his poor tortilla. That man never gets to eat. Like, the whole time he's dropping food every time the monster shows up. And it's so sad. But Penny 23 incepts inside the monster, and the first thing we see is a field in Vancouver. Oh my god, it's Vancouver. And the monster starts recalling stuff that he can remember from this, like, ritual that took place. And he remembers an altar and some bowls with the stones in them, the god beans. And he remembers that Bacchus and Iris and Hecca and Enyalias were all there, and that they had to do it. They couldn't do it without Enyalias, and that they had a woman on an altar who was scared and bleeding.
And they were going to sacrifice her
for something. And the monster doesn't remember what. And while the monster is watching this and feeling sad, he says, Penny hears something. He turns around. There's a mysterious door that shows up, and Penny 23 goes through the door, and oh my god, it's Elliot.
Yay. Elliot's back, baby.
It's been 4 episodes since he's been gone. Yes. And Elliot says, listen to me. You gotta understand, it's even worse than you realize. I've been snooping around in his brain, and it's even worse. But we don't get to find out what the thing is. It's because the monster has a sister. Right, that's right.
Penny has to get back before the monster gets suspicious.
Yeah, so Penny 23 comes back, and he's like, Percy, where'd you go?
Yes.
And so Penny goes into a seizure out in the real world, yep, because the monster's been in his brain so long. But the monster pops out, and he's like, You helped me out, so thanks, my guy. I'm gonna go find the last piece of the puzzle. I know exactly what to do. Thank you. Goodbye. So
that's it. That's the end of the season.
Nope. So then we see Katie and Zelda, and they are smoking a pipe together.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, and so they have a little conversation.
Smoking is not good for you.
That is true. And they have a little conversation about how Zelda's like, you know, we're a lot alike. My mom was a hedge. Your mom was a hedge. My mom died when I was young, and then I got taken in by Everett, and he taught me manners. And now I'm a fascist with manners. And I do terrible things that are even worse than the things I did when I was a scruffy little hedge witch.
Now, wait, does this scene supposed to make us like Zelda?
I guess, but because it doesn't work.
It came way too late in the series.
Yeah.
Right? She's already done horrible things, and even Harriet, like, you know, we like Harriet, right?
I love Harriet.
And we're like,
she slaps. She's way cooler than her mom.
We like Zelda on behalf of
Harriet.
Harriet.
Yeah, like that,
right?
Episode of their relationship was really cool.
Right, was really good, right? But we still don't trust Zelda because Zelda's always throwing everybody under the bus.
And then she, you know, proceeds to remind Katie that she is the one who enabled Penny's death.
Right.
And she's like, and you are a good person because you're sitting here smoking with me, and I know you're going to make good decisions.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know if that's the case, if you know, you're doing that. I would hold a grudge forever.
Yes, against
Zelda.
I wouldn't want anything to do with Zelda.
If Zelda killed my girlfriend, I would kill her. Like, no question asked, bro. Easy. Easiest decision of my life.
Okay.
Then we see Alice and Harriet, and it's the scaredy cat Alice and Harriet, and they're, you know, arguing, but Alice doesn't know ASL because of the failure of the U.S. educational system, and Harriet is saying, you have to go get a new crystal, and Alice is saying, no, I don't want to, because I don't want to talk to that other Alice, she's a bitch, I don't want to talk to her, and well, she goes, oh, fuck, well, I gotta go talk to her, because she has to go bring that crystal and bring it back together, and the only way to do that is to have both parts of herself.
So Alice has to go to the Enchantment Under the Sea dance and stop Biff from defeating Alice.
No.
As Alice is playing Johnny Be Good.
No.
Right? Wouldn't that have been more of a fun romp if, like, they actually had to go back in time to, like, a moment where Alice was, like, doing something
else?
Give it
a sec, bro. That'd be
awesome.
That's episode 11.
That's a good
episode 11, they go back in time.
Is it really? Is that a Back to the Future episode?
Not really. It's just
Is it a fun romp?
It is kind of fun because we get to see Quentin's face when he gets kissed by Alice when they hook up for the first time. And he is so over her by that point that it's so fucking funny. And she's like, did I do something wrong? And you feel bad for her. But then you're also like, this is hilarious.
Aww.
That's, like, the last good episode. But Alice, you know, goes up to other Alice who's in the prison, and she's like, you ruined my life. You were so prideful and you were so full of yourself that you always did anything you wanted, and you ruined everything and you ruined all my relationships. You're a little egomaniac. And the other Alice is like, well, you need me because you're just a little scaredy cat, and you are the one. You're the one who destroyed the keys. You think it was me, but it was actually you. It was fear that destroyed them, not arrogance. You know, we both ruined our life, you know, and it's because we gave into our arrogance and gave into our fear. And, you know, we still don't know what we're capable of. And that's so scary. And I'm like, okay, but like, when are you going to show what she's capable of? Because you say it. You've been saying this now for 4 seasons. I don't know what I'm capable of. But if we never see a hint of that power, then what is the point of thinking that Alice is capable?
I know what Alice is capable of.
What?
Making little horses
dance. Making little horses dance. But that was in season 1, Dad.
I know. That was like, that was a better show of her power than anything else the show has ever done, right? Yeah. Poor Alice. Poor Alice got the short shrift in the show.
Oh, it's going to get worse, man.
And I know why. And it's
because the conclusion of her arc happened like 3 episodes ago.
Well, there's that too. But we'll get to the end of this episode and I will sum up my theory about
your
this
theory.
Show. Yes.
Uh-huh. But then Alice lets Alice out of jail.
Right.
And they start walking out of the mirror
And guess
realm.
What conveniently falls over?
A book about the binder.
That, with the big words binder on the side, right?
Yeah, it's about safe binding.
It
would have
been funnier if it were like a trapper keeper.
Oh.
Because that's what we used to call binders.
Uh-huh. Ha, 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 ha. What if it was a real binder? That would also have been funny.
What do you mean?
Like a binder.
Like
for
rope?
A chest. For chest.
Oh, I thought you meant
a
rope.
Chest binder. That would also be funny. Oh, you mean like trans tape? That would also
What's
be funny.
Trans tape.
It's for binding.
Transparent tape?
No, it's medical tape that you use to bind with.
No, you use it to bind wounds.
No, you can use it to bind. Yeah, I understand these things. You don't. That's okay. but the arrogant Alice is like, don't question it. Let's just take it and go.
Hey,
which
you know
I
what?
Appreciate.
What I would call if I shipped meek
Alice.
And arrogant Alice.
Alice squared?
No. I would call him Benny.
Oh, my God. Okay, no more of that.
That's called a callback.
Rule of three.
Rule
no
of three.
More
now
of
it's
that.
Funny.
No.
Rule of threes is funny.
It was never funny.
I bet somebody laughed.
Uh-huh.
Your mother laughed.
Yeah. But the two Alices return with the one Harriet, and they make a prism again, they fix it, and Alice becomes one Alice, and Harriet becomes one Harriet.
Yay. So everybody is one again.
Yay.
Except for Elliot.
So then we see Josh and Margo at the palace.
Why didn't they just do that to
having
Elliot?
Having their little party.
Why didn't they just put Elliot in the mirror and then use the mirror bit to pull Elliot out from the monster?
Well, they're sort of going to do that, but it's going to be the worst case scenario.
Ugh, the dumbest
They're
going
to go
scenario.
To the mirror realm. You know they're going to go to the mirror realm.
Because it's cheaper to shoot them.
Yeah.
All right.
But then we see Josh and Margo, and Josh is like, hey, Fen is going to commit a coup against you. And Margo's like, that bitch, how dare she? Hold off until the foremost is here, because that's all I care about is talking to him. So then she goes to Pickwick, and she says, hey, Tick Pickwick. Tickety Pickwick.
Right.
Hey, can you go into the, where's the foremost? And he's like, oh, he isn't here. Why would he come here? He fucking hates Fillory. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me?
So it's all been a lie.
Yeah, and
from
he's...
From Rue, who
no,
should be killed.
No. 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 No.
I want to see Margo go full ham on these people.
No, she will go full ham, but next episode. Next episode, good girl boss episode for Margo.
Okay.
But it also makes me mad.
Makes you not be able to speak is what it makes you.
Yes. But Tick's like, you had to have to go to the desert to go talk to him and pretend that you were like not a part of Fillory or like a member of the nation.
Right.
And so then Margo's like, wait a second, I need to get exiled.
Right.
And so then she's like,
another
okay. Well, she's like,
plan.
Damn it. This is a job for a
just
tough
lied
bitch.
And said she was exiled, right?
Yep. But so she goes to Fen and she says, Fen, I need you to do it. I need you to overthrow me. I want to save Elliot. You want to save Elliot. This is the only way we can do this. And we get this great shot of Margo crying as she, like, looks at the throne one final time. And you see, like...
It's not like she really had
the tears
a good
coming
time
down.
On the throne.
See,
anyway.
Here's the thing. She worked so hard for that throne. And then we barely get to see her actually govern.
She really just made friends with a bear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it was.
But don't you love Humble Drum?
Yeah, but he should have been in more, right? I would have had it like a Fenn saying, I'm gonna exile you, and then Margot go blow on a little whistle, and then like a bear and like all the talking animals come in and murder everybody else.
It's too expensive.
And protect her from her being exiled, it's right? Wouldn't that be rad? Or at least a bear. It's too expensive. Put somebody in a bear suit.
It's too expensive.
It could be done.
It's too expensive. But Margot gets caught, and she
In my fan fiction, Margot rides on the back of Humble Drum.
Okay.
With a machine gun.
Fucking ride it then.
No, I'm not going to write it.
You coward. You said you will.
I have other fan fictions.
Write multiple fan fictions.
Other things solved, I'm going to write about.
Dude. But Margot is forever...
Like Benny.
Forever banished, but which Benny?
Benny and the Jets.
Uh-huh. That's the name of Penny 23's band.
Yes.
When he's DJ Hansel. All
right.
But she gets branded on the wrist to show that she is, you know...
Branded?
Well, she's forever exiled.
And she flings some very nice curses
at him.
Son
of a pig fucker, and Tick's like, wonderful words to remember you by.
Well,
and
Tick
then as
is
she
kind of a backstabber
as she gets pulled away, she says, I curse Fenn and her whole family, but also be nice to her.
Right.
But Margot gets banished, and Josh comes up to her and he says, hey, before you leave, can I have some time with her? And the guards are like, sure, man. And they immediately
step off. They just step back.
It's funny, though. They're doing a bad job. It's like the cop in A Night Before Christmas who they catch that boy, and then the cop immediately walks away from him.
A Night Before Christmas?
Yeah, The Night Before Christmas, starring Vanessa Hudgens and Sir Cole. I watched that movie. Right.
You and your Disney Channel.
It's not. It was Netflix original.
Whatever. Can we just stop and admire how great exiled Margot looks?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you'll get to see that
again.
That's
the thing, right? Like, I think exiled agrees with her.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think actually maybe she's better off exiled.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes. But Josh gives her some treaties that he made and a map, and he gave her a fully charged iPod that is already playing music when he puts it in her ears, so it's going to be very uncharged later.
Yeah, she can hear it. What song was it? No, what was the song?
I don't remember.
I forget.
It was a song, and it should have ended there. The episode should have just ended there.
Should have ended there.
Because it was the perfect send-off for, like, that should have been the last shot.
But it's the magicians, and they know how to keep it going.
Beating that dead horse.
Yeah, so the dead horse is...
So the dead horse is Alice and Harriet. They're out in one piece, and Zelda's like, consider that list, permanently misplaced to Fogg, so, you know, no more watch list on his students.
That lasted a whole episode.
Yeah, and Harriet says, after Alice clears out with Katie, they're going to go get snacks, is what they say in the background.
Okay.
Harriet says, I want to spend more time with you. I just have to finish a few things. But first, you need to finish something. I could see through all the mirrors while I was stuck in the mirror realm, and I could see everyone. You're being lied to. The bloodworm is actually being spread by the library, by Everett specifically, and you need to tell the library everything, and it's because he wants to, like, make this whole fear, control, manipulation. Literally watching this whole cutscene of, like, Harriet in the background watching everyone. It's very goofy. The cutscene is very silly looking. Also, didn't give a shit about any of it.
I think,
literally, I don't care about this plot line at all.
I think Harriet really should just kill Zelda and be done with it.
No,
Zelda's too big of a pain.
Here's the thing, is that Everett is the most milquetoast fucking villain ever, and they introduced him halfway through the season.
Yep.
And he's so fucking boring.
Yes.
And it, like...
All right, so...
He's not interesting. He's just a boring white guy who's balding. Like,
all right, so...
But then we see Julia and Q and Penny 23, and Penny 23 finally wakes up after he had a fucking seizure, and he comes in and he says, I saw Elliot! You know, he's still kicking there, but the monster... Elliot could see everything the monster remembers. It's all in there, just buried. And it's so much worse than we thought.
Yeah, and you know
it's
what?
So much worse. You and that's what? Where it ends.
You know why it's so much worse?
What?
And this is where I come to my thesis about this show.
Yeah.
It's so much worse because it's a woman.
No.
Yeah, that's it. That's why he was saying it's so much worse, is it's the sister who is more evil than the monster is. But really what it means is, it's so much worse because it's a woman.
Uh-huh.
And now in every episode of this show, hasn't things always been made worse because of women?
Except for the Beast.
Except for the Beast.
But then again, Julia stopped them from killing him.
Right, and then that's what made it. And everything has always been made worse because of women. And you know why? Because
the show is misogynistic.
The show is extremely misogynistic.
Yes. Well, I was actually talking about this the other day.
Yes.
About Julia in particular and how her kind of... her character arc and stuff is one of the ones that gets the most disserviced, I'd say, aside from Alice and Quentin. And then also Elliot is a high contender.
Right.
But Julia is by far one of the worst affected characters in the show compared to the book. In the show, I was talking to a couple friends about this. Julia is the one who gets her bodily autonomy violated the most. Every main character in the show at some point, except for maybe Josh, I think, gets their bodily autonomy violated in some way or other. But in the very first episode of The Magicians, you know, Julia gets sexually assaulted by Pete. When they meet, she gets manipulated into an assisted suicide by Richard. She gets possessed by the monster's sister, which we will see later.
Yep.
She is also, you know, trigger warning, she is raped by Reynard the Fox, and then she becomes pregnant, and she is unable to get an abortion until... It's under very dire circumstances, and when she gets that abortion, she becomes evil.
Right, but even all these horrible things that are happening to women, they're still also the cause of most of the problems.
Yes, and it sucks.
Because women are the worst, according to this show. That's the thesis of this show.
Uh-huh. Well, it sucks also because, I was talking to my friend about this as well, but Julia's kind of storyline in the books is she is... she has this horrible experience of being raped by Reynard, and she becomes so traumatized that she feels completely disconnected from her human identity. That's why she's like lost her shade, quote unquote. It's because she's just been so traumatized that she cannot connect with that human part of herself anymore that feels empathy. And she goes through this whole healing process where she, you know, reconnects with her best friend from high school and gets supported by her new friends and has this whole kind of redeeming relationship with the strong female power figure in her life, Our Lady Underground. And the what's really interesting is the difference between Our Lady Underground in the show versus in the books.
Yep.
In the books, Our Lady Underground is a woman who has also been abused and mistreated by Reynard the Fox, and is a victim as well as a survivor. And she and so she sees solidarity in Julia, and she sees that connection, and that's why she grants Julia demigodhood. And when Julia becomes a demigoddess, she regains her empathy, and it is shown to be something that makes her even stronger than before. You know, she's still has the empathy of a human, but she just has, like, the powers of a god. Versus in the show, Reynard the Fox masquerades as OLU, and she also, when we finally meet her, she is a rape apologist, and she is covering for her son, and she gives Julia her god powers just because she's like, well, it can't go anywhere else, you know? And it's this horrible, like, there's no solidarity between women in this show.
They're all distrusting.
Like, when Margot and Julia meet again at like, the beginning of season two, I think it is, you know, Margot is 100% hostile to her. And, you know, Katie and Julia are friends for a short moment, and then they have their friendship break up. Marina and Julia also have a very toxic relationship.
Let's just look at this episode.
Alice as well. It's this whole
Katie
terrible web.
We have Katie punch Alice. Mm-hmm. We have
they
Rue
insult each other constantly.
Show up out of nowhere and say that we have to dispose this female leader.
Yes.
We have Fen ready to dispose Margot, who's been, you know, essentially family for how many seasons, right? And, you know, the women just all... And then we had... Zelda, of course, you know, betraying, you know, just kind of everybody. But, like, you know, look at just how badly women are represented in this show.
It does suck, though, because I do think that The Magicians is a good representation of women as fully faceted characters. Sure. Like, women are allowed to be angry, and they're allowed to be jealous and envious right. and hurtful and terrible people, and also to be good people. But it sucks because it's they're constantly also being terrible people to each other, and we don't get to see any kind of real solidarity between them.
Maybe there's like hours and hours of just
of unaired of good vibes.
Yeah, they're just hanging out, loving each other. Yeah, you know, being
but if
nice
we don't see it,
other.
Then it's not canon right, in the eyes of exist. The show. Exactly. So, if you tell us if the show, if it's like J.K. Rowling saying Dumbledore is gay, but not writing it into the story, it doesn't right. count. You're just putting in representation
oh, by
the after
way,
the fact.
He's gay.
Yeah, you're just putting in representation after fact in order to quell the people who have criticisms of your product.
Right.
And if you don't include those things in the original product, then you aren't going to see like the flaws in your story and
sure.
and be able to rectify them.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, taking all that in mind, what do you rate this episode?
I would rate this episode a 2.5. God beans.
No, wait, how many God beans are we?
Five. God beans.
I thought there were four God beans.
Or seven.
No.
How well, many are
well,
there?
Well, in the show, there were four.
There's five. Five God
Is there
beans.
Five?
There's five.
I thought there was only one.
It's five God beans. Well, he has one more to no. find.
Yes.
One more to find.
Okay.
But
so
I rate
2.5.
We'll crack one in half. And it's because, you know, this episode is just kind of boring.
Really?
You know, I felt it was pretty boring. I am not invested in most of these storylines, especially the Everett one. It that one to me is the most boring one out of all of them. It's very predictable, and Everett is not an intimidating figure, and he never feels like a threat, and he never feels like an important character in the story, and it's frustrating because we didn't spend enough time with him to feel like he could be a villain, you know?
Right. Well, he didn't do enough villainy
things. He didn't do enough villainy things. He's just this milk toast guy.
All right.
And,
that's
you
not,
know...
Let's not say bad things about toast or milk.
and, you know, the Alice plotline is interesting, but it's really a
again,
lot of stuff that we already know.
For all, right?
Yeah,
like
and
a lot of,
again, they've
already... We need
already,
a crystal, we need the
yeah,
this, we
and
need the that.
They, again, yeah. they've already kind of reached this moment in Alice's character, which
right.
would be the perfect kind of resolution of her as a character and a person, but they can't get rid of her because she's one of the main characters from the books.
Well,
and they
the
don't
cast.
Know how... Yes, and they don't know how to keep a resolved storyline and have her learn from her actions.
Right.
And, you know, the overthrowing storyline stuff is also, it sucks and it's terrible, but it's also, it's just a lot of talking. There's not a lot of doing in this episode, and it's frustrating. I wish the magic show had more magic and more cool stuff.
I agree.
What would you rate this?
You know, to be honest, I was moderately, I totally agree. I think it was a lot of just blah, blah, blah. But conversely, for some reason, I was kind of engaged with it in a way. I mean, I agree that there's a lot of dumb, like, oh, the worm and the head witches.
The worm.
And then it was like, oh, that's all. We've resolved that. Like, as you know, it's all like little temporary flashes of fire that don't really you know,
yeah.
end up being anything.
Plot
right?
threads.
But I still would give it a 3.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was at least, I mean, I didn't fall asleep during it.
That's good.
Maybe it's because we did this in the afternoon.
Yes, probably.
That's probably part of it.
Probably
maybe I'm more inclined to give better ratings
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon when I'm not sleepy.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. So there we go. That's it. We're done with the show, right?
No, we're not.
Oh, God damn it. How much farther do we have to go?
We have
episode
four
nine.
More episodes of this season and then all of season five.
All of season five. Well, at least season five I haven't seen. So it's all going to be just one horrible surprise after another, right?
Yeah.
All right. So with that in mind, where can... what's going on in the universe, the Cheerio universe of the magician fandom? Maybe that's what's on the other Cheerios.
Yeah,
all
the,
you magician
all the
fans.
Stuff. So right now, the Magician's Happily Ever After event is people are turning in their stories. So pretty soon, the artists are going to be paired with their writers, which is going to be very
that's
fun
exciting.
And exciting. So obviously, like that stuff's not going to come out for a bit, but you know, just know that it's slowly happening. I also know that there are some prompt stuff that are currently happening. I don't remember the names of them. I've been too busy to keep track. But I do know that there's a lot of prompt stuff that you can find on Tumblr right now of people writing a bunch of cool things. And I know some fics have been finishing and some people have been working on series and stuff. So, you know, it's just kind of like it's the null period before the next blast of multitudes of stories come out.
All right. Very exciting times for the fandom. Yeah. And if somebody wanted to find you online, where would they find you?
You could find us at Fillory Father on Twitter, at Fillory and Father on TikTok, and fillory and father@gmail.com. Send us an email. We will read it on the podcast.
Yes, we will.
And where can people find you?
You know, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Uh-huh. Mighty Bedbug. That's the usual. I haven't really, you know.
Yeah.
It's not much going. Actually, if you want to support me, help support me by buying my board game, which is called Alien Fate of the Nostromo, and it's available on Amazon and at Target if you can find it, and your friendly local gaming store now. It's out and about, and it's gotten nice reviews, and people seem to like it, and it has very cool little miniatures of the alien and the other characters from the movie, the classic movie. It makes a nice Christmas gift. So there you go. That's if you want to help me. Now, how about you?
You can find me at wow_then on Twitter and at fishydraws on Instagram. And on Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers. My website is Evelyn Lee Rogers. I'm making things on Patreon, several Magician's Animatics. Also a video game, very slowly.
Yeah, one day.
One day it'll be done. You know, just drawing where the wind takes me right now.
All
right.
You know? Well, you know, if you want to help support an artist,
yeah,
you know where to support one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. And we will.
You will hear us
next time
on Fillory and Father.
Yay. Yay.